me say this to start off. This conversation between Travis Jackson and Walter Langford is being recorded on June 22nd, 1982, in Travis's home in Waldo, Arkansas. All right. Travis, let's start off by having you tell me when you first started playing baseball and where. Right here in Waldo or where?
Right here in Waldo, high school, mm-hmm. and every little town around here.
Had a town team.
Back in those days, had a town team.
Same as when I was growing up.
As the towns around here, mostly it was Magnolia, Louisville, mm-hmm. Stevens, mm-hmm. Stamps,
I came through.
In other words, the way we used to do it, somebody'd get up there on Main Street and holler, "Let's play a ball game." And that's the way it'd go. They'd notify somebody in Magnolia and they'd show up. Because mm-hmm. they only had had to go on a buggy and horse,
right.
horse-drawn, and then got the Model T's.
All right, and when did you get into organized ball?
Well, I played two summers up in Marvel, Arkansas, and worked in the drugstore with an uncle. Mm-hmm. And they had an extra good bunch of semi-pro clubs up in around Marvel, Holly Grove, Clarendon, Marianna. Mm-hmm. And so I jerked soda there in the daytime and night and mm-hmm. on Friday and Saturday while we played ball game. And usually the semi-pros had some teams in Little Rock, and we'd have those teams down. And that was my last year in high school, mm-hmm. and we were playing in Pine Bluff one day, and a scout from Little Rock came down there and told me that Kid Everfield wanted to see me at Little Rock, that they had had a shortstop, little fellow by the name of McGinnity, break a leg, and you needed someone to finish out the season. That was in 1921. Mm-hmm. So I had a little trouble getting up there because my mother was very religious and she didn't want me to sign a contract. Well, she'd have to sign it for me,
sure.
And she didn't want any part of that Sunday baseball. Mm-hmm. So it turned out, though, even after I signed the contract and she signed it, why, I didn't play ball on Sunday the first year in 1921. Mm-hmm. But she relented during the year, and in 1922, of course, I started playing.
Were you still at Little Rock in 22 most of the season?
I was at Little Rock the whole season.
In 22?
In 22.
You did get up to the Giants for the last...
Yes, when the Southern Association was over there, why, they called me from the New York Times and told me to report up there for the last week of the season, I believe it was.
Now, in 23, did you stay with the Giants, or did they send you out for a while?
Well, I stayed.
Good.
I was the utility man in 1923.
Then you were a regular thereafter.
And then a regular thereafter,
all right. All right, now, who signed you for the Giants?
Well, I don't know.
Or did Little Rock just sell you to the Giants?
They didn't sell me.
Yeah.
They had a ball player. The Giants sent them a ball player, Joe Conley, an outfielder. Huh. And told the management in Little Rock that they'd let them have Joe Conley to play center field if they'd have the first pick for the team when the season ended. Uh-huh. And I was the first pick. So I don't know who signed me. All I know is they came and told me that I sold the New York Giants report up there at the end of 1922.
Right. You say Kid Elverfeld owned the Little Rock team then?
No, he managed it.
Oh, he managed it, yeah. Real good. So, you get up to the majors. Do you remember your first game?
Yes, I remember the first game. I remember one time at bat, and I remember one play for the first game that I made up there.
Yeah. All right.
I faced Jimmy Ring. He was an old time.
Was he still with Cincinnati?
And he was Philadelphia
then, yeah.
And he was a mean. And another thing, I came within just an eyelash of the first ball hit to me for making a triple play.
My God.
There was a man on first and second.
Yeah.
And there was a line drive hit to my left.
You went over and touched second.
No. I fielded the ball.
And the guy was running.
Turned and threw to second base, and they threw to first base for a double play.
I see.
But if my glove would have gotten in under it, if I'd have caught the ball,
yeah,
you'd have had a triple play.
Yeah,
but if it was, it was pick up and turned into a double
sure.
play. But just an eyelash making a triple play, the first ball hit to me.
What a thing.
It didn't happen, but it could have.
Sure could have, yeah. Now tell me, as much as you want to, about what kind of a guy and manager and everything John McGraw was.
Well, Mr. McGraw had the reputation of being an awful, rough manager, and he was.
Yes, I'm sure.
But, and he was smart now. He was always ahead of you. He was a play or two ahead of you. He was looking forward to the next inning of that,
mm-hmm.
inning after that. And he would, the type of ball players he liked to have, he liked to play with that big inning.
Yeah.
And he never would sacrifice or anything like that the first four or five innings. He'd play for the big innings up until it came right down
the
last of the
wire.
Innings. And a lot of people didn't like him. Well, he was rough and tough.
Anybody of his type,
but the ball players, it was a funny thing, they'd play for him. They'd play for him. Of course, now, he had a little bit to do with that, too, because he had a little stock in the Giants there then. And he'd tell you, he said, if you don't get out there and do this, that, and the other, said, I'll send you down to Timbuktu or someplace. And they were fighting for their lives out there all the time. But if you hustled out there for John McGraw, now you could play ball for him. But if you didn't hustle, you wasn't going to play for him.
Nobody can argue with that.
And he was rough too.
Yeah.
And he always told you, he'd tell you in the meeting. Hey, we'd have a meeting every week or every time we'd go into a different town and all like that. Every time spring training and when we'd get some new ball players in, he'd have a meeting and he'd
lay it out.
He'd lay it out for them just for their benefit.
Sure.
We'd heard it. We heard it time and time again. But he'd lay it out for their benefit. And he would tell them this. He said, now, just because I do some things, that don't give you the right to do it. You do what I tell you, and you'll get along fine.
Did he do some coaching at third base in your day?
First year, yes. He was coaching third base, I think it was, from 23.
I ask because I've read more than once through the years that apparently before your day when he was coaching third pretty regularly and he had an inning going that might become a big one, he would sometimes deliberately hold up a runner after one. Suppose the runners are on second or third and somebody singles. He'd let that guy on third score, but he'd hold up the other guy to have somebody on base to keep bothering the pitcher.
Well, I never heard that one.
Yeah, I've read that.
You hear so many things about him.
Yeah, that's right.
About him standing on there with the ball when he was playing third base.
Mm-hmm.
Man on third base, he hit a fly ball to the outfield. He'd stand right by the base, and as soon as the outfielder caught the ball, he'd grab the fellow by the belt and wouldn't let him leave third base.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Well, you can't argue with his success through the years.
He was successful.
Yep.
I got along well with him. I
got
having trouble. He made me captain of the ball club there. And he'd take, I tell you now, his word was good. His word was good.
Yeah.
For example, now, we had an outfielder named Jimmy Welch. He joined a club from the Pacific Coast League. And Jimmy was out there one day and a fly ball hit out there. And it went by Jimmy. He didn't quite get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came on in the dugout, McGraw started to get on Jimmy. Said, we told you in the meeting to play this fella so-and-so. And Jimmy said, Mr. McGraw, said, Jackson moved me. And he asked me, he said, did you move Jimmy? I said, yes, sir. He says, okay.
That's great.
So that was my, he gave me authority out there
exactly.
to do what I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you played your last few years under Bill Terry,
mm-hmm.
he was a different type from
Yes, but Bill Terry was a good manager.
That's what everybody says.
He was a good manager.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. McGraw's biggest weakness was his pitching.
How do you mean?
His pitching. He didn't know how to handle what didn't handle. Pitchers like
Terry.
Some of those could. Like McKechnie.
Didn't change him at the right time?
No, and I've seen him throw 15, 16 straight curveballs. He'd get mad at you that pitcher out there sometime.
I guess somebody else told me that he I think it was Hubble.
He
made him throw an awful lot of curveballs.
Oh, yes. He'd make you do things like that. But Terry was a good manager of pitching. Now, when he was made manager, we went to Philadelphia. I had a kind of broken down leg then. And we had a meeting. And he says, I'm not changing anything on this ball club. Uh-huh. He said, now, but what we going to do? He says, Jackson will handle the infield and position. Mancuso will do the catching back there, and he'll do the calling of those pitches unless we want to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Hot will run the outfield.
Who will?
Hot. Mel Hot.
Oh, Hot, sure. He'll
run the outfield. Sure. And he says, I'll be over all of you. My order's the last thing.
Yeah.
And that's the way we went on. We won that pennant in 1933.
Yeah. Right.
Made manager in 32.
And you were still there when they won again in 36.
Yeah. Well, I'd move to third base then.
Mm-hmm.
And if the ball hit right at me, it was too bad.
You played third, second, and short.
I never did
one game in the outfield that last
time. But I never did play for second base.
Got you here playing.
I played a game in the outfield.
Yeah, I can't decipher what this is all about.
But I didn't play a game that I know of. I don't remember playing a game of second base. I might have. That 1933.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm looking at the overall.
Yeah, yeah.
You had 116 games at third base and 9 at shortstop in your last year.
Yeah.
And earlier, way back in 26, they got you one game in the outfield.
Well, that was the end of the season.
Yeah. They used to fool around like that. Babe Ruth would come in and pitch the last game of the season, and other players would play one inning at each position or something.
Well, that was 1923, wasn't it?
That was in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Shows here 26.
26.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the right field had gone home or something. But I played the last game of the season, I believe it was.
Now, you were there in the 22, for the 22 series.
No.
Weren't you?
I was there in 22, but I didn't report.
In time.
I know.
But did you, were you on the bench?
No, I came on home. You sent me on home.
Yeah. Okay. So you were in the 23 series.
That's right.
What do you remember about that one in particular?
I just pinched hit.
Yeah.
Herb Pinnock hit a fly ball was down in left field bullpen. They called it. That was it.
Yeah, what impressions did that make on you, the series itself and the Yankees? They were beginning to feel their oats about that time.
Well, we thought we could beat them going into that.
You had beaten them, I think, in 21 and 22.
Four straight, I believe.
Yeah.
Four straight
with a tie.
We thought we could beat them. And by the way, that 23 there,
mm-hmm.
See, that was the first series in Yankee Stadium. That's just when the Yankee Stadium was built.
I didn't even remember it was built that early.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That was,
I'll be darned.
That was when Casey hit the home run inside the ballpark.
Uh-huh.
That's the first World Series there in the first year for the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if I've got any other question coming out of that series. It went 4-2. That must have been the first series that went back to 7 games, too, after few seasons. No?
No.
22 was also a seven game series. 21 was, so I think 19, 20, and 21 were the only time they had the 5 out of 9. So the Yankees took it in 6 games. Pinnock was their main pitching ace. And Neff won and lost. Neff was quite a pitcher, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was a good little left-hander.
He won the third game 1-0.
I believe that was when Casey hit the home run, wasn't it?
Well, now they don't tell that here in this particular thing. I've got other books that would tell me, but...
I think Casey hit the home run. That was the only run of the ball game.
Yeah. And he also, I knew he hit another one. It shows here he hit another one in another game, too. Really, Neff was, as far as I would regard it, your only really outstanding pitcher that year. McQuillan and Bentley and Barnes.
Bill, and Scott. Bill Ryan was there, wasn't he?
Ryan is listed, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he pitched, he won one game.
And let's see, was both Barnes there that year?
No, just one.
Just one.
Was that Rosie Ryan?
Yeah, that's Rosie Ryan. He hadn't been dead too long.
No.
He was out there in San Francisco for years.
Their best names were Pinnock and Bush. They did have Shockey and Hoyt. But
well, Pinnock was the easy toss, and Bush was the
Bullet Joe, yeah. Okay, now, what about that 24 series with Washington? That was a hard one to lose.
Mm. But it was a good series.
Sure, it had to be.
We were all kind of glad that Washington got in there on account of
Walter Johnson.
Exactly. He'd never been in the home.
I think every baseball fan in the country felt that
way. And by the way, we beat him three. We lost three games.
Yeah, well, no, and he lost two. And
two.
He won the last one.
Well, I know he won the last one, but I thought he lost three.
No, he lost to two. He lost the first one 4-3 to Neff. He lost the fifth game 6-2 to Bentley. And then he came back. No, it was the fifth game.
11th inning, wasn't it?
Came back, 12th inning. Ninth and pitched through the 12th, and the ball bounced over Freddie's head.
Yeah, well, the one thing too that everybody on that club should remember with Walter Johnson out there, of course, he'd lost some of his speed,
wasn't
but
great.
It was getting dark. And the way he'd whip that ball from around here, you couldn't pick it up
because
it got pretty well up on you.
Yeah. Yeah, you hit him pretty well the first two games. 14 hits in the first game off of him, and 13 in the second.
Mm-hmm.
27. And then he gave you 3 hits and 3 and some fraction innings that last game.
That was a funny thing. There were two things happened to lose that series.
Yeah.
In the same, I guess it was the same inning.
Ooh.
That was when Gowdy got his feet mixed up and his mask there on a pop fly that retired the side, then that little easy bounded down to Freddie. Just as he went down, he decided to come up.
That's right. That was a thrilling series, though, really.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Lots of excitement and down to the last minute. Let's keep on the World Series for a minute. Washington in 33. When you beat Washington. Remember much about that one?
Yes. There was a few things that happened in that series. I know one of those games that we won there. See, I couldn't move around too much then. I was playing third base.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd been pitching me a certain way all during the ball game, and I told Terry I was leading off. I think that went extreme, didn't it?
Fourth game went 11 innings.
Anyway,
you won it in 11, 2-1.
In other words, I told Terry, I said, Terry, Bill, I believe Hardo was pitching.
No, Weaver.
Weaver? Well.
Weaver was pitching and Russell came in the 11th.
Well, anyway, that was the first man, the first, I was the leadoff man. I told him, I said, he's pitching a certain way. I said, I'm going to take one right on the arm or on the hip some way. I said, I'm going to get on that some way. I said, have a pinch runner ready for me. And he said, okay. Well, sure enough, I didn't do that, but I bunted. And didn't even draw a throw to first base because he was playing the backside.
Sure.
Figured I couldn't run anyway. Well, I got to first base and kind of trotted on down, you know, like you do when you go on down to first base after you beat something out.
Yep.
I turned around and I said, well, here comes my runner.
Yep.
I'm not going to call the boy's name because you'll see in a minute why I'm not calling that down, that name. Well, I got back to first base with no pinch runner for me. Well, I didn't pay much attention to that. Because Mancuso was the next man up there.
Mm-hmm.
He sacrificed, and I slid into second base, and I dusted myself off. I said, yeah, comes my pinch runner. I got up, and I didn't see any pinch runner. And I looked in the bench at Terry. I caught his eye, and I said, give me, and he gave me this. So Blondie Ryan singled to left field, and I scored, but if the ball had been in a way near the plate, I wouldn't have scored.
Uh-huh.
I got to meet, I said, Bill, I said, what in the hell's going on? He said, well, I told this boy that he was going to run, and said, you just start giving me this.
You're kidding.
And he said, I'd rather have an old man like you in there. Somebody liable to be called first base.
Oh, sure. He'd freeze.
So that was...
That's great.
That was one thing there.
Oh, boy.
And another play that came up during that series, we had a Dolph Lukey, you know. He was one of our main relief men.
That's right.
And Hubble had a left-hand hitter, could hit Hubble.
I've heard that from
others. Yes, they could hit up, especially if you'd throw that curveball up there, they'd blister him. And he'd throw it in spite of all you could do every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So we came to the last inning there. I won't say it was the last inning. But anyway, they loaded the bases.
Mm.
And they put in a pinch hitter against Huff. And who was it? Nothing but a left-hand hitter. We weren't used to that in the other league. They always put the right hand.
That's right.
So he was a young catcher that they had Washington called up from Nashville.
Uh-huh.
Well, we were allowed to see somebody got hurt, and we were allowed to select a man to help us in that series.
Yeah.
And they got Charlie Dressen. We brought Charlie Dressen up. And he had played with this fellow down in Nashville. This catcher Bolton that they put up the pitch hit.
Yeah, I see his name here.
And so we talked out there on the mound, said, what are we going to do now? How are we going to play him? What are we going to do? And Terry happened to think about Dressen. And so we called Dressen to the bench out there. He said, can you tell us anything about this one? I said, yes. He hits left-handed pretty good, but he's slow. He's slow. He said, how would you play him? He said, I'd play him back little more than halfway and not all the way deep.
Mm-hmm.
Because he hits the ball on the ground, says you've got plenty of time to double it.
Yep.
Well, during the fact, what happened? Mm-hmm. But it scared us to death when we saw them put a pinch hitter up against Hub.
Yeah. Thought they knew something that they shouldn't know. And old Charlie. Now, was that when Charlie was just coming up to the majors, Dressen?
No, he was, that's when he was just about through.
Oh, before he came back to manage.
Yeah.
All right, that's an interesting aspect. What about 36? They faced the Yankees again.
Yes, they kind of blistered us there in 36.
They were blistering a lot of people in that
year. Right. Yeah.
Boy. I pointed out that in one article I wrote, between Oh, somewhere in the late 20s and the late 30s, they were in 9 series and shut out the one of them, won 7 of them in 4 straight.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was 36, I think it won 6 games.
It did. It won 6 games, yep. And Hubble won the first one. Let's see, and Schumacher won one. But Schumacher really got plastered in the second game. Schumacher and assorted others.
He did.
Smith, Kaufman, Gabler, and Gumbert. Schumacher beat Ruffing in the 5th game, 5-4, 10 innings. Hubble won one and lost one. Schumacher won one. But oh, Fat Freddy lost 2. That must have killed him.
Mm. Freddy was a hard worker.
Yeah, everybody was on a hard loser.
Yeah.
And Hadley beat him 2-1.
He had to work so hard to get what he had. I believe if he'd stay a week without doing something, he'd gain 10 pounds. He had to weigh that weight during the summer, too. During the hot summer and all. He had to work like the dickens to keep in shape the year round, or he'd balloon up there and mm-hmm. he couldn't move. Every time you'd see Fitzsimmons out on the field, he'd be running and doing something.
Mm-hmm.
The pepper game.
Trying to hold it down. Now, tell me a few about just a little whatever you may remember about a few of these people. For instance, in the 22 series, you didn't see that one, though. I think that was...
That was when they pulled that play, that double play from somebody to George Kelly, and the man on third base rounded in. He was going, Aaron Ward was going third base, and Kelly, after tagging the man at first base, taking the man out at first base, threw the ball to Heine Groh at third base and tagged Aaron Ward out.
Speaking about Kelly, tell me, was he there very long after you came up?
No, George was. No.
He played in 24.
24.
Let me see if he's there.
He went to Cincinnati there now.
Yeah, 24 was his last full year. He played a little...
Well, Terry joined us then.
That's right. But they got George Kelly playing second base.
In the World Series?
No, in 1925. Is that right?
Well, he played an inning in the second base in the World Series.
Yeah,
the 24 World Series.
I hadn't ever noticed this, and they give the lineups of each team for each season, where they finished and all of that, and the number of games they played at each position. They got Bill Terry, first base, 126 games. George Kelly, second base, 108 games.
That can't be. No, that can't be.
That's got to be. I don't know who it would be, but anyway... George lives in California now, you know, outside of San Francisco, I know. Either outside of L.A. or San Francisco.
I've got a letter in there from somebody out there that said they saw George the other day.
Yeah.
And I got now where they said he was.
Yeah. Well, he's out there, I'm quite sure. And when I get back, I've got 2 or 3 in California that I want to try to catch up with, and I would enjoy talking with old George. Old High Pockets, as he was called. Yeah.
He was quite a guy.
He must have been.
Quite a guy.
Must have been.
I don't know. I got along with everybody up there. I never had any trouble the whole time I was up there, and I liked all the fellows, and they always seemed to like me.
I don't doubt it.
I the whole time I was up there, even after I was made captain, I argued pretty good at times. I was never thrown out of a ball game.
That's something.
Never thrown out of a big league ball game. I've had old Bill Clinton follow me clean to the dugout. You know, just all he wanted me to do, just to look back. If I'd look back, he'd have had me out of there. But
well, I forget. JoJo told me how many he was thrown out. I think it was only one or something.
Maybe one. I didn't think JoJo was ever thrown out any. It's one thing about JoJo. You know, he led off for us.
Yeah.
He was leadoff man, and Huey Kreitz hit second. Of course, Joe he played around 145 pounds,
a little more.
Huey was around 140 pounds, 135 pounds. But Joe Moore was a notorious first ball hitter.
Mm-hmm.
he was going to hit a swing it, or hit that first pitch. It didn't happen just once or twice, it happened several times. That we'd come in, Joe would grab that bat, and he'd go up there, and he'd either be on first base or out before Huey Kreitz could get his bat and get in the on-deck circle and get up there.
Oh,
so we opened the game there in Cincinnati one day. That big, big pitcher. Paul Derringer. He was a huge man.
That's right.
In other words, he opened. Joe got up there and got in his position there, and Paul wound up and he threw the ball halfway up on that screen. just deliberately, just whammed it up there.
Yeah.
And I asked him after the game what the heck was coming off. Charlie Grassman said it cost the pitcher $50 for Joe Moore to hit the first pitch. He wasn't going to hit the first pitch on me.
That's a good one. Well, in the 22 and 23 series both, there were two brothers playing, the Measle brothers.
Mm-hmm. Irish and
Bob. They were both pretty good players.
Listen, they were both. They were, with men on bases, they were dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
That Irish, he was out of run producer there for years. And they said Bob was in the American League the same way. Bob could throw, and Irish had a bad arm.
Uh-huh.
He accused me of that bad arm. Yeah. Said that's what's running in there and getting some of those ground balls I missed.
Yeah, Irish drove in 125 in 23. And
he was just an even 300 hitter.
Yeah, Bob only drove in 91 that year, but they, as you say, they were both runs.
Yeah, they were both knocking those runs for you.
Yeah. In the series, Bob had a pretty good series. They drove in 8 runs, and Irish drove in 2. They both hit 280 in that area.
Now, Irish get a lot of doubles.
Yeah. Pinnock won 2 again in that series. Bush won, split a pair, and Neff split 2. Ryan won 1, and McQuillan, Bentley, and Scott all lost 1. Bentley never turned out to be what they thought he was
going to be. No, they tried at first base too, as a hitter and all. Yeah. He'd go like a house of fire, seemed like a certain length of time, and then that was it.
There are a lot of streak hitters like that. What about old Heine Groh?
Well, now, Heine was just there the 1 year, I think.
Finishing up.
23. Yeah. The reason in 23 I played 99 ball games. I believe that's what it was.
In 23, you played 96. Pretty close.
Well, anyway, there was about 30 up at third base and 60, something like that, at shortstop.
31 at third and 60 at short. 1 in second.
Heine hurt his knee.
And
I got my opportunity.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about a green. But anyway, I played that and Heine came back. Must have done a pretty good job.
You're sure about that. Yeah.
And as soon as, I don't believe it was a week, after Heine got back, Dave Bancroft came down with pneumonia. And I played the 60 games there while he had pneumonia.
Did he come back from that?
Yeah, he finished up the season, yes.
But I mean the next year?
Bancroft? No, 24, I was a regular shortstop.
Was he around, or had they gotten rid of
him? They'd gotten rid of him.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say they got rid of him. They let Boston have him to manage Boston.
Yeah, Dave was the manager, he played 33 games, and played 79 games. So
McGraw let him go to,
yeah,
because he told me, he said, you're going to be my shortstop. Well, good gracious alive, I hit the small boy.
He told me
that call. He said, you're my shortstop next year.
And he didn't regret it.
I wish I could find some of the articles those newspaper men wrote. That's the only time they say that McGraw, that they ever kind of got on McGraw for getting rid of
Bancroft.
On a Pendleton Linton ball club to get rid of Bancroft and put a 18, 19-year-old rookie in there.
What did they call him? Bancroft was some kind of beauty.
Beauty.
Yeah, just beauty.
Just beauty.
Yeah. Well, you didn't let him down. You hit 302 this year. Your first full season as regular, 302, drove in 76 runs. Did 11 home runs. You remember your first home run in the majors?
Okay.
I'll be nice.
Sure, no. That's something, isn't it?
Yeah, in a way it is. But we forget many things in our lives.
I don't know. It didn't seem to bother me. Out there playing, when I went up there, as young as I was, kid and everything, the crowd and things, it just never did seem to bother
me. Make any difference to it.
It just didn't make
any
difference.
That's great.
I was lucky, though.
I was going to say.
I was lucky that I never did get, the crowd never did get on me in the pool.
That's wonderful.
And the boys on the club told me what to expect when I first joined them there and had to play regular while they started taking down their wings a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they had time to say, now, on these road trips, especially on the road trips, they're gonna knock you down.
Sure.
Now, don't show them any...
No.
Try to get back and don't do a thing. Just
don't give them any satisfaction.
Just get back. About the second or third trip around, I had no trouble nobody. But that first couple of trips around, man, I was hitting on my tail as much as I was standing up.
Well, they want to see if they can intimidate you and keep you intimidated.
They did everybody that way.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
A new man come in there, brother, look out.
He had to prove himself.
You betcha.
Do you think the fans in those days got on players and down on a team as much as they do nowadays?
No.
No, I don't either.
At least they didn't the Giants.
I
would go to Chicago and Brooklyn, especially Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Now, they'd get on anybody who walked up there that had a Giant
name
on it.
Sure, that is.
Now, things like that. But that was, they'd do that there and see after the ball game with their friends.
That was just the rivalry that existed.
That's right.
Tell me about Ross Youngs.
He was a wonderful ball player. He was a great ball player.
Yeah.
He was fast. He had a good arm. He was a 300 hitter.
Yeah.
He'd steal you some bases.
Can't ask for much more.
And I mean that he was a competitor.
Yeah.
He was a great ball player. I remember that last year that he played there. He was going on those road trips, and he'd have to go up to his room after a ball game and take treatments and all.
Boy,
and he didn't last too long.
Yeah. Now, Casey was a character and did some things well, but you couldn't say all the things about him you just did about Ross Youngs. He couldn't run like Ross, I'm sure.
Well, when I saw Casey was just on his
last leg.
Really on his last leg.
Yeah. Okay.
And Ross was just in his prime.
Yeah, that's true.
Ross and the priest didn't get along.
Is that right?
Oh, no.
Why?
They're jealous of one another.
Hmm. I'll be darned. That's hard to avoid on a team.
I don't want to be saying anything about anything, but that was everybody knew that.
Yeah.
Everybody knew that.
Well, I think it's impossible on... probably on any team, but particularly on a good team, impossible not to have some rivalries and jealousies.
Oh, they were great ball players.
And cliques. Sure, they're great ball players.
I know McGraw said one day we were playing in Brooklyn on a Sunday afternoon, and Frisch, something happened to Frisch or something, and we didn't have too many ball players on the bench, I don't guess the time we came up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he took Frisch out. Said, now who will I put at second base? Young says, I'll play it. But let me go out there. So the next thing, anyway, he put somebody in right field and said, Ross, go to second base.
Ah.
He lasted one inning. As it came up, there was a double play. A double play came up.
Mm-hmm.
And the runner got there before Ross could throw to the ball, and he got whacked.
Oh, brother.
The next inning, he said, put me back in right field.
Uh-huh. You learned the hard way. Um, Well, don't you think there are cliques and rivalries on nearly any team automatically when you get 25 people there?
Yeah, that would be.
Different temperaments and everything. Yeah. That's just in the nature of it. And there are some famous examples. The old Gas House Gang used to squabble among themselves a great deal. St. Louis and the Oakland A's of 72, 3 and 4 were fighting themselves and Finley and everybody else. They say that Cobb and Ty Cobb and Sam Crawford didn't speak to each other for 3 years.
Well, they were fighting all the time.
Yeah.
I just got a book in there the other day. It's got the library away by Ty Cobb. No one told me to read it.
Yeah.
Seemed like I read it before, but I started it.
Mm-hmm. You may have heard the story about Cobb that may even be in that book. Because apparently it's true that in the in his first several years, he hadn't been in the league too many years, and everybody hated him pretty heartily because his spikes were always riding high and everything. The one year he went around the league telling everybody, on both his own team and other teams, if you got any extra money, put it in Coca-Cola. And they all hated him so much they figured he was giving them a bum steer, so none of them did except Cobb, and he wound up a millionaire.
That's right. I heard that, but at that time, see, when I was in Little Rock in 21 and 22 there, I heard that in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I heard, I think it got down to 5 cents a share.
Gee.
25 cents a share. So it just flattened. And then all the air,
took off.
Yes, I've heard that about the car. About that Coca-Cola business.
Yeah. Hack Wilson was with you a while.
Mm-hmm.
That was before he went to the Cubs. Must have been. No?
He went from the Cubs to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So it must have been.
Must have been. Because he was with the Cubs in...
He only had 1 year.
One great year, 1930.
1 year.
He wasn't bad in 29, but 1930 was his year. And I don't think his 190 RBIs will ever be beaten.
Not unless they play all year.
And he got those in 154 games, too.
All the right field, all right, center field and right field. Yeah. He couldn't pick one up in his hand, he didn't live. But put a man in that Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Kidding. And it was pitiful that next year, though. Get to think what a great year that 1 year.
That's right.
Just the next year.
Well, most people that I've talked with seem to feel that it was, in good part, a case of his drink catching up with him. And JoJo told me the story yesterday that I'd heard and read before, too, about when he was with Brooklyn after leaving Cubs. In right field one day, and they had Boom Boom Beck pitching. And he got his name because they boomed him off of him, I guess. And they were hitting that right field wall where Hack was playing, and he was racing over. He'd had a hard night the night before. Hot day was hotter than hell. He was racing over and picking him up and throwing him into second base. And so finally, manager comes out to talk to Boom Boom, and Hack is really, his tongue is hanging out, and he's leaning over with his hands on his knees and his head down. And the manager out of the mound says to Boom Boom, give me the ball, I'm taking you out. Boom Boom, so mad he turned, threw the ball against the right field wall. Hack heard it and raced over and picked it up and threw it in the second base. And somebody says, best peg he made all day, too.
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh, well. How was Hank Gowdy?
Great fellow.
Was he wasn't through, but was he toward the end of his time when you knew him?
He couldn't hit too well.
Yeah.
He couldn't run too well, but he was still a good catcher.
Yeah.
He could handle pitchers. And I was with him most of the time when he was coaching.
Mm-hmm.
He and I coached the Giants at the same time.
Yeah.
And Hank was a wonderful person. So he was the first man to enlist